So, Cambridge Science Centre are back for us this morning. Nylon was invented before World War II, and Bakelite, as the first synthetic plastic, had started to make its way into our homes too, in things like light switches and wireless cabinets, what we soon started to call radios. Another term for wireless, of course, something completely different these days. Well, the Bailey Bakelite could insulate electricity. Perspex was another early clear plastic which found its way into cockpit windows in fighter aircraft of the time of World War II. By 1950, plastic was to become the material of the future. Polythene, polypropylene, polycarbonate, PTFE, were soon to come into our lives. Some plastics were tough, some soft. We could store food hygienically. We could mould and shape to how we desired the forms of plastics to be. There was convenience. We could use and throw away single-use plastics. We had no thought, no regard to the consequences, to the waste we were and indeed are generating in our society, in our world today. Jess is going to tell us more about what plastic is and maybe what we could do about it. Jess, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Phil.
It's lovely to see you here.
Yeah, lovely to be here.
Thanks for coming on board.
All
of you, always Livewire's dynamic people, it's lovely to have you on board here. So, Jess, a really open question for you. What is plastic?
Well, that's a great open question to start with. And as you said, there are a lot of uses to plastic and a lot of reasons why it was a great invention. So, generally speaking, plastic is a polymer, which is a large molecule. And a polymer is something that it's just a repeating unit over and over and over and over and over and over again. And actually, it means that plastic has a lot of these great qualities that you were saying earlier. So these things of durable, being easy to recycle, waterproof, light, transparent, list goes on and on and on. And they're generally made of your organic kind of elements, so carbon, hydrogen and oxygen, maybe some others. So that's a little bit about what plastic is and some of the properties that actually make it pretty useful for us. As you also said, kind of revolutionised a lot of things for us in the past.
I think it was at school here in Cambridge.
Yeah.
I think it must have been a chemistry class. It might have been physics, probably more chemistry.
Yeah.
Getting a little glass tube, and I don't know what we had. Was it acetone or something? Maybe in a beaker. You probably couldn't use that with kids these days. And drawing nylon. So it was fascinating because there was this sort of globular mass on top of a clear liquid, it was.
Mm.
And you get people will remember, I remember doing that at school, and just pulling on it and a thread out of this continuous, almost infinite thread would come up of clear, and that was nylon. And we'd wrap it round and round and round and round, probably put it around our fingers. I don't know what we were doing to ourselves, exposing ourselves to all sorts of chemicals before the chemicals and substances hazardous to health came in or something like that. But, I mean, can you do something like that these days with the kids? Can they work to actually draw their own nylon out of a crucible?
I mean, as you say, I think a lot of those kind of experiments, unfortunately, kind of before an awareness of... but you're right that they are actually, if you have the right kind of materials, they are sort of easy to make in that respect. I mean, we tend to do... So a lot of the things we do in the Science Centre at the moment are more focusing on... we have a show called Recycle for Life, which kind of focuses more on how to kind of recycle and reuse and reduce plastic and just general kind of pollutions. We tend to kind of focus more on that kind of attitude of maybe trying to increase those kind of things with the citizens and families and people. But you're right, definitely you could do those kind of experiments. I'm kind of jealous that you were able to do something like that, because that does sound pretty awesome.
And I'm still here today to tell the story all those years
exactly.
ago. But the other thing we find, ideas of how to get away from plastics. Here's one. I've just started using canvas bags very recently now to go to one of the big supermarkets on the south side of Cambridge. And if I want to weigh loose fruit, say I want to get bananas, I will put them on the check weigh. I use a scanner. And now I've just got a sticky piece of paper, so it's got a barcode. And then once I get home, I can just throw that into my green caddy. And I haven't used any plastic.
Yeah.
So I haven't wrapped my bananas. Because you think, well, why are we wrapping our fruit?
No, you're right.
Because our fruit has got everything it needs to stay hygienic within the skin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of using plastics isn't necessarily just kind of cutting it straight out altogether. It's really thinking about what is actually necessary. So like you quite rightly said with the fruit, and also with things like reusable bottles and plastic bottles, plastic bags, those kind of things. It's just being aware to maybe bring your own bags while you're doing your shopping and just have a plastic bottle that you use over and over again, or even a steel bottle that you'd prefer to use. Just have one that you really like and think it's really cool.
One of the small supermarkets I use in Cambridge has recently banned the use of single-use plastic coffee cups. I love a coffee when I go into this particular supermarket. They offer it for free.
Yeah.
But now I'm just getting around now to taking my own cup with me. Because otherwise I'm not going to get a free coffee anymore. It's as simple as that.
No, you're absolutely... That's a fantastic way to kind of enjoy coffee and manage to kind of reduce using these kind of... Yeah, just kind of disposable cups. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand with this kind of consumer culture sometimes, but that's a great way. And I've been actually today took a pledge with National Geographic to do that as well, to basically reduce my plastic use and also to buy a keep cup that I'm sure I can find one with a really cool design, and then just use that instead of buying all of these coffees. So I also like a coffee in the morning. Who doesn't?
It's the only way to get going around here, I can tell you. The first thing we do when we come into our green room is grab ourselves a cup of coffee here. But in all seriousness, another way of saving on plastic use is, I could remember paper straws. They were waxed, so they work perfectly. They go a bit soggy after a while because as a child I'd probably chew on the end of a paper straw and it would collapse on me. So I was trying to suck the drink Now we should really be going back in that direction again. Waxed paper.
Yeah, absolutely. So beeswax is an alternative that quite a lot of people are looking at, even for, as you were saying, wrapping food earlier. If you do want to wrap food for whatever reason, you want to pack your lunch, beeswax or waxed paper for those kind of for straws and things is a great natural alternative as well. And I gather also there are vegan alternatives out there, although off the top of my head, I'm not quite sure what they are, but I gather there are things, even if you didn't want to use beeswax per se, that you could even find that same kind of alternative.
And the cheese salad years ago in your village shop would have used greaseproof paper, something like that.
So yeah,
this is the way maybe to return, and it still seems to me to be hygienic. Another one would be the spindles on cotton buds. We shouldn't be shoving those in our ears anyway, because they tell us it's unsafe to do that. But instead of using a plastic spindle for the two cotton buds on the end of a certain brands, like, well, we won't mention brand names, but you go down to your chemist and get your cotton buds. Instead of a plastic spindle, why not again use a wax paper one spun?
No, you're absolutely right. I think that's another great example. And cotton buds are something that are very disposable, very single use, tend to just get thrown away. And unfortunately, it's all of these single use plastics that are the things that end up kind of making their way into the oceans and causing quite a lot of damage. So we see a lot of plastics, but also microplastics, the plastics that have been slightly more broken down by the environment for whatever reason. And it's these types of plastics that are causing huge problems for wildlife and marine sort of biodiversity, which is just what makes, part of what makes the world such a special, rich wealth of kind of things that you want to see and experience. So I think it is really important that we kind of, that we think about these things, and if we can reduce them, then we should all try and do a little bit.
Cambridge Cleantech was one of our guests recently. Plastics in the Ocean, again, talking about microplastics. There was a seminar, I think Cambridge Science Centre have been involved, and certainly one of the British Antarctic Survey, based here in the Cambridge land, land base, is coming over to talk at the Cambridge Science Centre. I think it's Friday. Put me right if I'm wrong.
Yes, no, you're right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For Plastics Week this week.
Yeah.
And there was a big forum and seminar there back in February over at the land base, British Antarctic Survey. Probably highlighted as well. I think it has finally sunk into our psyche. Blue Planet 2 last year was David Attenborough's very much watched, the second largest watched programme, I think, in terrestrial television last year, with the programme showing the plastics in the ocean. And
absolutely,
that has made people wake up.
Yeah. I mean, David Attenborough, or should I say Sir David Attenborough, is one of my all-time favourite science communicators, and I'm a huge fan of a lot of his shows, including a lot of his earlier shows as well. But you're absolutely right. Like, the I think sometimes the public need to see these kind of these photos, these videos that are really putting it into their faces about maybe how bad a certain situation is, because otherwise you probably just don't think about it, and if you're not seeing it, then you're also not aware of it, and there's nothing you can do about it. Blue Planet and the BBC have done a lot with kind of a lot of photography and a lot of a lot of great series, and Blue Planet in particular, showing, I think there was a one episode that was entirely dedicated to plastic pollution. And I think that, really makes it kind of clear to people that how much of an issue it is.
The turtle wrapped in some fisherman's net ends was quite a striking scene, which came through to people. So this week you're engaging in half term down at the Clifton Park Industrial Estate, where you're now based, your shiny new Cambridge Science Centre.
Yeah.
Mandy was Mandy Curtis was with us just the day before the ribbon was cut for a rather spectacular evening. You've got lots of sponsors on board. And at half term, it's suitable for everyone. Mums and dads looking after kids, do come down with your children. You've been having some litter picks this week.
Yes, and actually that's a great one to bring up, because we've got one again on Thursday. It's a meet at 1 o'clock outside the Science Centre. And if any families or any members of public would like to get involved in doing this litter pick, then afterwards you actually get free access to the Science Centre for all those taking part. So that's a really great one. And it's a really great way to start to maybe tackle a bit more of the problem as well. It's something to talk about, like alternatives to reduce future plastics use, but it's also a great thing to kind of to try and get out into the environment and kind of pick up some of the plastics that have been thrown away and not been recycled. So this is a great one to kind of get involved with. And as I said, we're doing free entry if you take part as well.
So, that's a good incentive.
Yeah.
So you had this event as well yesterday, Jess. Am I right in saying it's tomorrow as well?
Yes, exactly. So it's running twice this week. We had one yesterday, which went really well. And we've got it on tomorrow. And as I said, it's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So some of the other events that we have going on, we've got a fantastic lady called Hilary Tunnicliffe come in today. She's done a lot locally. She's been in the newspapers and been on radio and stuff a lot as well, because she's been doing a lot of work around how to live plastics free. So something that we're doing, she actually did a talk earlier today at 11, but she's at the Science Centre again at 2:30, and she's going to be doing a talk of a science communicator has brought in a week's worth of their food shopping. She's going to be going through it and talking about some alternatives to the plastic in that case. So if you want to find out a little bit more about other alternatives that could be out there with things like food shopping, then that's a great way to kind of get introduced to someone who is already managing to make a lot of these changes. So, yeah, that's a really, really good talk. I'm excited to see that one at 2:30 today.
So, 2:30 this afternoon, you can join Hilary Tunnicliffe. She'll be sifting through an average week of family shopping for those living in Cambridge or across South Cambridge, or wherever you come from, to find out what plastic-free alternatives are out there. I suppose if we can ingrain into our next generation, you know, those below us coming through, school children now obviously be responsible adults, still encouraging, because young people are still very passionate about the planet. They are into green issues more than us as adults, I think. Do you find that? Do you find when you're talking, because you work with the young children that come to you?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I think it's I hope that it's kind of becoming a because although we do obviously do a lot of work with young children and with families, a lot of the Science Centre is really accessible to everyone, and I'd like to think that with the shows that we're offering, that it's really helping to kind of instill those attitudes with the recycling and reusing with all members of the public, and kind of show how important it really is. But definitely it's great that there are a lot of young people out there with this enthusiasm and this passion to really try and drive these changes and to be a little bit more active about how to, maybe seeking out these alternatives and trying to think a lot more sustainably, which is maybe something that other generations haven't thought as much about, possibly.
There's a frozen a food chain in the high street around the country, a national chain, that's saying that within the next 18 months to 2 years, they are working hard to get their products into plastic-free deep freezers. The containers will change, whether we'll see waxed board, whatever it will be. But they're moving that direction. They're putting their heads together at the moment, working with their suppliers and food chains towards that, Jess. Yeah. So a good week for you, a really interesting one. Hopefully you've had lots of families through the door already at the Cambridge Science Centre this week.
Yeah, it has. We have, and hopefully we'll continue to get lots of people through. And, we're going to keep doing these sort of themed weeks in our holidays and summer holidays as well. We're going to do a lot of things. So it's just, it's a great opportunity to especially come visit us and get something a little bit different as well if you're an annual pass member. So it's just, it's really exciting to be able to offer these kind of weeks like the Plastics Week and really try and raise awareness of these things, because unfortunately the forecast of plastic pollution is it's going to get worse and worse. So the more we can kind of do something about it now and try to raise awareness, then the better. So it's really exciting to be part of it, and I hope it does make a difference. So
that's good. It's well said. So this afternoon, 2:30, if you want to go along, join Hilary Tunnicliffe. It's going to be very interesting. She's going to sort of rummage through your shopping basket and tell you what everything's made of and maybe how you can make some changes. And remember that litter pick tomorrow as well from the Cambridge Science Centre. If you go along, you can go out with some of the city rangers. They are from Cambridge City Council.
Yep.
They'll be wandering around with you, helping to supervise you. You'll kind of be in their care. And you can wander back into the Cambridge Science Centre afterwards for free and see some of the attractions. That's a real pull as well for Cambridgeshire and for Plastics Week. So the Cambridge Science Centre, you can find that on Clifton Road Industrial Estate. It's pretty much at the junction with Hills Road and Cherry Hinton Road, just the other side, the non-city side, the Leeward side of, Leeward side of the railway bridge. So fairly near to the entertainments that you'll find there, including the cinema. There's a multi-storey car parked by, used fairly nearby to there. Nice and easy, or if you come by train or bike, easy to get to as well. Jess Bartlett, thank you very much for coming
thank
by.
Thank you so much for having me, Phil. It's been a real pleasure. So,
we'll perhaps see you again.
Yes.
Certainly see some of you from the Cambridge Science Centre very, very soon on another subject on another day. Thank you very much.